What if Kevin is right about what he says about Deshaun Watson? I'm pussyfooting around this. What if he's right that Deshaun Watson actually does give them the best chance to win? See, I say something, then you say something. That's how a radio show works. If you could possibly do that for me, it'd be great. Thank you.
Well, what's the spirit of the question?
What if he is correct?
If you have a question, then I'll answer. What's your question?
What if he's correct? What if he's correct?
So,
what if he actually... Let me think about this. What do we say about the offensive line?
It's been very shaky this year.
What do we say about the wide receiver core?
Probably one of the worst in the NFL now.
Okay. How many games have you had David Njoku?
Just what, two?
How good is your running game?
Oh, not good.
Okay. So everything about the offense is bad. Mm-hmm. Dorian Thompson-Robinson's going to make that better?
No. No, probably not.
Who is faster with their feet, Jameis Winston or Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun could take off and run.
Okay. Now, emotionally, I would say that Jameis Winston is the much more secure quarterback. And it might force you to go back to Kevin Stefanski offense, which is protectionism. But if they're going to run this offense, he may give you the best chance to win, Deshaun Watson. What?
I've heard you say a lot of stupid things on this show.
It ain't stupid.
It's stupid.
No, it's not. How's it stupid? 216-474-0092 is it
if
stupid?
If we go to Winston over Watson and they go to protectionism, I get you're saying, well, that's a different offense.
It is a different offense.
Yeah, I'm trying to win football games. I don't care what offense they're running. I don't care if it's flea flickers the whole time. If that gives them the best chance to win, that's the offense they need to run.
Yeah, but I'm putting Dorian Thompson-Robinson behind that offensive line.
Yeah, that's not the guy.
We don't even know who the center is. He's not the guy. But those are your options. Your other options are quarterbacks that play in college, Owen. So those aren't options yet.
Not this Sunday. Jameis Winston is also an option this Sunday.
You can play it on Saturday or Sunday. It don't matter.
You can browse right past it if you want, but that's the truth. Jameis Winston is the next guy, not Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yeah, but you know what you have with Jameis Winston.
I don't care about the future right now when you're 1-5.
You should care about the future because they ain't going anywhere. Well, so I don't care about. I can't care about the right now when they're not going to go anywhere
and
for the right now.
How many weeks does that change, Owen? Like, let's say they lose to Cincinnati.
I'm surprised.
Probably two.
Okay, so you're holding out for two more weeks.
Yeah.
All right, so against the Chargers on November 3rd.
Why even do the season then if you're going to give up the ship right now?
I'm not giving up the ship right now.
You got three in a row at home.
All I did, you see, you're getting mad at me. I didn't want you to get mad at me.
Well,
I'm just telling
too bad.
You,
that's where we're at, Bucko.
I'm asking a question. I'm asking the question. That's all I'm doing. Your offensive line is terrible. Your running game is terrible. Your wide receivers are not so good. You've had David Njoku like two games, all right?
Yep.
There's
Deshaun Watson is?
Terrible. But there's one quarterback
terrible.
That has the athleticism and the experience to possibly get out of harm's way. And because he has the highest ceiling, he may... Guys, I'm admitting fully this is galaxy brain. I'm fully admitting it. I'm looking at the camera. I fully admit this is mental gymnastics. Totally. But what if he's not wrong? What if they've gone up on the whiteboard? They know what Dorian Thompson-Robinson can and can't process. Remember that time last year when I was screaming and yelling like a wild man? I think you do because they played it at Kevin's thing where I was mad at them for running a flea flicker with Dorian Thompson-Robinson against the Ravens and putting him in a not such a good spot. It was a really bad spot. I still stand behind those comments. I mean, not the whole Bill Lundberg thing.
They were not ready to play as a football team. They were not ready.
I stand behind those comments.
That was brutal.
So I can't say he's lying to us directly when he says that Deshaun Watson gives them the best chance to win. I'm saying it's a terrible chance to win. Because if they're going to continue to run this offense, which come hell or high water, they're going to run this offense. Now, if you're telling me that they're going to go, Ken, they're going to go under center for the most part. They're going to go offset eye or single back, run 12 personnel, play action. Then I get off that podium. Owen, I'm getting down, and I'll say, well, Jameis Winston's going to give you the better chance to win. But if they're going to run this offense, and they're going to, well.
Well, who gives them the best chance to win this week? And it's not the quarterback. It's the guy that hopefully comes back and performs the way that he used to. And, I mean, that's a tall, tall, tall task. And Nick Chubb. But who gives Nick Chubb the best chance to perform the way he used to? Is it shotgun Deshaun Watson?
No, it's going to be Jameis Winston.
Yeah,
Jameis Winston under center.
Just the problem would have coming to that conclusion.
Real quick, Tone. Owen and I are just, we have to recognize, you and
it's
I are at loggerheads
right now.
Yes, yeah. We're at loggerheads because if your argument, which I would agree with, is predicated that they would run a different offense or the offense that they have ran in the past. My argument is that they're going to run whatever they call this again on Sunday. All right, sorry, Lima, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
Everything you said about the line, the running game, the receivers, the offense, all that, nobody could argue with. It's all gone south. When I look at like Bill Barnwell and his piece with Deshaun Watson a few days ago about how it's become rock bottom, he's agreeing too. All those things are issues. But then he says, man, look at the clean pocket numbers.
They're terrible. Yeah, they're bad.
They're terrible. The deep balls when he's had time to throw. The most, other than Caleb Williams, he's the most off-target quarterback in the NFL. So it's all building on itself. There are no numbers right now that make Deshaun look good. Even in the second half last game where he was 11-12 and people are like, maybe he's turned it around. Second half of the Baltimore game. Yeah, these are all screen passes. They don't really give you a shot. The teams are letting you do all the underneath stuff because they know you can't have enough of those plays to put a good drive together because you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. Deshaun is missing the layups. He's missing the easy throws that are built into every NFL offense these days. All of those things, Jameis is going to hit those throws. Jameis is going to connect on some deep balls. Yeah, he's going to throw some interceptions. So did Joe Flacco. But Joe Flacco also had the explosive touchdown plays.
That's part of it.
Where are those in the offense?
That's part of it. Now, Joe, at his zenith, was better than Jameis. So the fear may be, because this offensive line's in tatters, who's starting at center on Sunday?
Couldn't tell you.
Michael
right now.
Dunn?
The Bay Village
only
kid?
Only Wednesday. Maybe Sinihara is.
Ethan Posick coming back? Okay. So we don't necessarily know what's going to happen at center or the other position. So again, hear me out on this. Please, just hear me out. Joe was better equipped. Joe could get rid of the ball. Joe did turn the ball over a lot. Remember that. Deshaun Watson, he's afraid to throw the ball down the field. So he's not going to turn it over and create interceptions. Because he's afraid to throw the ball down the
field.
That
is true. Yeah, he has not put a lot of balls.
And this is the saddest argument I've ever made.
In jeopardy.
It's the saddest argument I've ever made. And people are going to react. I'm already seeing it. People are reacting emotionally because they don't like Deshaun Watson.
Well, they also.
This is not a defense of the quarterback for the love of Christ.
Kenny,
guys,
it's also because everybody is telling you he's, if not the worst quarterback in football, he's one of the worst. Yes. And he's the worst over the last 4 years.
Guys, I'm not making some grandiose defense of Deshaun Watson. There is no defense of Deshaun Watson here, guys. There's none. I'm just trying to see it the other side of it. I don't agree that he gives you the best chance to win. I would start Jameis Winston on Sunday. I would have started him probably last week. I don't believe that the quarterback has any faith in himself at all. None. But I'm just pointing out, I'm looking for ways to see where he is right. Where Kevin is right. That's all. I would start Jameis Winston. I would go with Jameis. But I'm looking for ways to see that he is right. That's all. But actually, probably go to DTR, then I go to Jameis. Would you?
Man, I kind of hear with Owen on the fact that DTR is a second. You can do that second half
unless
of the season.
Unless you really think you're going
to
get this.
If you're resigned to the fact that the season's over already, then I guess you do it.
But that's
where
I'm at.
I'm not ready to do that yet.
I just wonder, like, if you do that, what are you telling Myles Garrett?
Okay, what am I telling Myles Garrett?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've worked with John Dorsey before. Sorry, bud. Like, those conversations have to be, boy, that's a sad-ass conversation we're having. If you want to hold on to the hope that they haven't played any AFC North games, you can go right on ahead. They don't take your divisional record.
I'm going to hold on to the hope that we got three in a row at home. I want to see what happens.
I'm going to get to the phones.
We're going to hit the bye week and the trade deadline after those three at home.
216-474-0092. I've made the best argument I can. Half-hearted. Actually, no-hearted. There's nothing behind it other than for the sake of argument where Owen can push my buttons very well. You didn't even push my buttons on that one. I think you were trying to...
Were
you trying to get your head up your ass so far that you were trying to see it my way?
No.
It's okay to admit it.
I'm just trying to find something like the last few weeks. You know, I remember even after the Washington game, I'm like, well, I'm not going to come on the air and say the season's over now. They're an NFL football team with a lot of guys that are still pretty talented. Mm-hmm. We don't think they all went bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the AFC North, after Baltimore, it's going to be wide open. The AFC, did you hear us try to put together a 7-7 in the wild card spots? Bad teams are going to make the playoffs this year. Why can't we be one of those bad teams? But then they go out and do what they did against Philadelphia, a team that they had a foot out the door. Their fans were booing them off the field. Have you watched the new Matlock with Kathy Bates?
No, I haven't.
I mean, I think we might have to.
Why?
She's got some good zingers.
I miss old Kathy Bates. Take that from what you will. All right. By the way, the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show. Start your Sunday with Earl the Pearl Molden at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Then Jonathan Peterlin and Spencer German, Potato Salad host, the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show starting at 9 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder, joins us for the latest from the stadium. Make the Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio, home of your Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan. It's presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling and Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. You could be my Craig T. Nelson in that scene. 4 o'clock Sunday. If the Browns go down, well, you know what I mean. If the Browns go down to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Hey, it is a team that we've had our success with, even when they were going to the Super Bowl.
All right, here we go. So I made an argument and I said that what if Kevin is not... Yeah, I'm not going to accuse a guy of lying. What if he's telling the absolute truth that Deshaun Watson gives them the best chance to win? And I laid out a reasoning. And the reasoning is very difficult. But here comes Jim in Strongsville. Hello.
You know what? I was going to full-on attack you, but I realized that it was a pathetic attempt, and you're just trying to do what you can to save the season in your own mind, which is fine. It's over. It's over. The Amari Cooper trade was the first of what's going to be many trades. You've got a bunch of old guys on here that have value. But, you know, the real question at this point isn't so much if they can turn. They're historically bad on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Historically bad. I mean, you could say what you want to. We were playing like our eighth and ninth string tackles last year at the end of the year, and mm-hmm. we still had some quarterback success, even with P.J. Walker, of all people, was putting up better numbers than Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
That's just about where we're at. So, no, I think our biggest concern at this point is that's great. They're going to trade for all these draft picks. I cannot let Andrew Berry make another draft pick. This guy has not been successful. I mean, I don't know how you cut it. He's been fine with contracts. He's been fine with free agents. But as far as drafting go, he's been terrible. I think we're going to have to – you know what? We're going to have to – 1-31 is probably not that far off of our future going forward. It stinks. It's going to be miserable.
Well, you can't go back to that.
Horrible football.
You can't go back to that. Because
show me wins. Show me wins on this schedule. Realistic wins on this schedule.
Later on this
year? With Deshaun Watson out there.
I can't. I have no idea.
It's not so far-fetched.
Denver?
It's not so far-fetched. It's going to be awful. Denver's going to kick our butt.
That's on the road. Never mind. I don't think they've beaten Denver in Denver since like 1978 or something. It's honestly, it's like a weird. Oh no, there was the game on Thursday night they won in Denver with Greg Williams as the interim head coach.
Right.
And then before that was like, yeah.
To take it a step further, Ken, we got Deshaun Watson because Baker couldn't. In those final drives, Baker couldn't get it done. How many final drives has Deshaun Watson had this year where he could have put the Browns ahead? It was the last drive of the game. He's three,
Vegas,
four.
Vegas. Giants, yeah, Giants.
Last week?
Yeah, last week against Philadelphia. That's three.
I'm just saying.
What would our record be right now with Joe Flacco? Boy, we're just letting it all out, aren't we? Jim, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, what would our record be if Joe Flacco were still here?
I think they'd be 500.
3-3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think about the same.
Kenny.
I bet I could make an argument for 4-2, even though they're going back to Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
But
I know somebody is actually, maybe it's not as controversial as you think, because we found somebody who is echoing your sentiments when it comes to Deshaun Watson.
Who?
Because right now you're getting a lot of people from all over the place that are disagreeing. They're coming after you on social media.
Who is that?
A Cleveland Brown.
I mean, if you want to play it, you can play it. I don't know if we're going to be able to right now physically, but you can't. If it's a Brown, it doesn't make my argument any better.
What? You think they're going to lie?
It doesn't make the argument any better.
You think his teammates are going to lie for the quarterback?
No. They're just...
Let's let one more caller in, and then we'll see. We'll see, because I think somebody actually supports what you say.
John and Menor, home of the Cardinals. Hello.
Hey, you know, I would just build it for Brooke Barnes. I would trade Lions or Niners, Von Carris. Teams give up more at the deadline that are going to make the playoffs. I think you can get one or two firsters for Garrett. Denzel, I think a team that just needs a corner would give up. They're going to be a playoff team. It's high 20s. I would trade Betonio. He's getting older. I would try to trade Judy. And I would go to Miami for Deshaun and say, look, we'll pay next year. We'll pay his contract next year. Give him a seventh-round pick and see if they'll take him, because Tua is what you know about Tua.
We'll take who? Who do you want to trade to Miami?
Deshaun.
You ain't trading him anywhere.
No, you might not be able to, but I would try.
I would try to do it. Okay, let me ask you this here. John, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. And thank you very much for the call. Turn up your radio. I want you to listen to this before we get to this bit of audio here. Mike Sando, The Athletic, he came out with the six-pack. One of the ideas that he had written, and I think Nick Wright came up with this idea as well, credit where it's due, Breakfast Ball, big show, is that that's first thing that's on in the afternoon. You have a scenario where you trade away Deshaun Watson and a first-round pick to Carolina.
So we have to add to this.
This is the dumbest stuff I've ever heard.
I know.
Nobody's doing that. That's dumber than the thing you did in the first segment.
But I didn't. The thing is,
Carolina didn't do it.
Wait a second. If it's our first-round pick this year, Carolina would love to have our first-round pick this year. Would they not?
Would you be
picking number one?
$80 million.
This is where we're at, guys. This is why the Guardians need to keep winning, because we're at the conversation point now. Of not only did you trade away three first-round picks to get the guy, you're willing to give up a first-round pick to get rid of him.
Tepper's worth $21 billion.
There's a salary cap. That doesn't matter.
Wait, I was
told
it
doesn't
matter.
The only way that's happening is if the NFL, for some reason, goes to Tepper and goes, hey, you have to do this.
No, they're not going to do that.
It's the only way we save one of our flagship franchises.
No, they're going to go.
So they're not doing it, so it's not happening.
It's not happening.
Stop entertaining it. Mike's, if you call in with the craziness,
now, hold on.
You're getting kicked from now on.
But Mike,
it's stupid. It's Mike not happening. Well,
you say that, but here we are. Mike Sando had written that there is an anonymous, because they're never going to put their name on it, NFL executives say that this is a move that Carolina needs to do. Carolina needs to make that move. And say, I'm telling you, and it's
suck
pick
too.
Six.
So let's make all the sucks get together.
Yeah, but
do sucky things.
But their whole thing is they would try to fix them, and they get a first round pick out of
hey,
it.
Hey, you suck. Why don't you come hang out with me? Cool.
I mean, right now there's no way. If you were to go, hey, who's their general manager over there in Carolina?
You know what else? They also say, if you want your kid to get chicken pox, find another kid with chicken pox and throw them all in the room together, and then they'll all just get chicken pox.
Tale. That's an old wives' tale.
And then you're 42 and you get shingles.
I haven't got that yet, but I'm on my way. What are you laughing at?
They run a lot of those shingles ads during football games. They really do.
That's usually midday television is when you get the shingles ads out there. It said Watson must waive his no-trade clause. I don't think he'd have any problem doing that right now.
By the way, Mike Sando on this afternoon at 3 p.m.
Yeah, thank
on
you.
Afternoon drive.
Hey. He said, according, quote, Carolina should do it, a third exec said. So should the Patriots. That's what this exec said. I don't know who it is.
Maybe you know who it is? People going, keep doing it, guys. You two sucks. Get together.
Maybe
do it together.
Maybe the person who should be working in football. I didn't say every executive should be working in football. We've had plenty of them.
That's John Dorsey.
We had one who left us and went to basketball. We had one that used to be in baseball that's now in football. Not all of them deserve to be there. Yeah, I said Carolina should do it. So should the Patriots. Like, if you went to Deshaun Watson right now and goes, hey, we actually have a trade on the table here.
Oh, he'd say, bye-bye.
Yeah, thought so.
Yeah.
And let's all be serious about this. You think he wants to go out there and hear that? Colin in Lakewood, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Colin.
Good morning, fellas. Okay, I do think Coach Stefanski and Ken have a good argument based on the fact that going back to being in Brown's prison, mm-hmm. you're choosing either death by firing squad or the electric chair, whichever way you go. Here's the thing. The question you got to ask.
So now, what are you Susan Sarandon here and you're watching me make my walk here?
Now, sometimes they do botch both of those. I mean, I've seen it.
Green Mile.
They do. But what I'm saying is the question is, what's your last meal? What are you getting out of either choice? Are you going to have a more savory? Like, people are rooting for Watson to fail. So if you want to go that route, that's part of your last meal.
I'll take a
then
waffle doodle.
Trading away good players.
Colin, thank you very much.
Let's see,
for the call.
Have to wait for him to come in from Belgium.
Yeah, so I get a stay. I get a temporary stay. I get another day because they got to fly those things in from Brussels. Yeah, guys, go Guardians. This is getting dark real quick.
Hey, guys, don't leave 11 on base again so we don't have to do this.
Yeah.
You should be celebrating right now. You left 11 on. We have to do this crap.
They got
to
win. They got to win. I can't. This is what it is. Someone has a countdown of the day to the end of the contract right now on my Facebook. 446. Hey, you always heard it. Do the time. Don't let the time do you, bud. Don't do it that way. Back to the phones. Joe in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. He's listening on the Free Odyssey app. Hello, Joe.
Hey, what's up, man? Serving our country. I'm a Cleveland boy here, but I love you, Ken, and I love your show in the morning.
Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much for your service. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm very passionate about the Cleveland Browns. I follow all the games, and I'm sitting here saying, hey, let's bring Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith from 1994 and put them under center of our offensive line. You know, you looked at their offensive line and you said, okay, that's how they got things done. I thought about our offensive line back when we paid all that money for Jarvis Landry. I'm like, okay, well, can we afford that kind of luxury right now? We have an offensive line issue. We know Jedrick Wills. We know Betonio because they're familiar names. They're kind of average offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a $200 million quarterback and put him under an offensive line that's dysfunctional. I don't think any quarterback's going to make it happen in that situation.
No, but it's just better than this. It really is. I understand where we're coming from here. No quarterback behind this offensive line is probably destined for success. But I think that fans miss just being sarcastic about the quarterback. They don't like the situation. They've won games and they're booing him at the beginning of the football game.
But the defensive line puts the pressure on Watson every time and the pocket collapses and he can't do anything. You just watch and wait for it.
And by the time the third quarter comes around, and these teams know this now, and Joe, thank you again for your service and calling and listening. These teams know this by now. By the time the third quarter comes around, he's running away from people that aren't there. He turns around and there are 14 guys there. And there's really not. Mike Sando, he's highlighting the clean pockets. You brought up people highlighting the clean pockets. Yeah, he's got clean pockets. They're usually showing them in the third quarter because he's terrified by the time the third quarter comes around. Again, he's a basket case out there.
Yeah, you don't even have to send extra defenders
anymore. Does he look like he likes what he's doing out there? Does he look like he likes playing the game?
No.
He doesn't look like he enjoys himself at all.
He looks like he's ready for this experience to be over.
And what do they say? What does the NFL always do? Guys who don't love it will get flushed out. You got to love it. You have to love what you're doing out there. And he looks like he is clocking in and clocking out.
And the guy,
and he is giving up on himself.
The guy, the first 3 years in Houston, looked like he absolutely loved it. And he was going to dominate the league for 10, 15 years. That is not the guy we have.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys. I hope I can spread some inspiration for some of the Guardians players or fans going into game three. Because today on WFAN's The Warm-Up Show with Al Dukes and Jerry Recco, just after 5 o'clock this morning, Jerry didn't seem satisfied with the Yankees' game two win over the Guardians. If anything, he sounded a little impatient.
I want to say something, and this is I don't want this to be mistaken.
Ooh, okay.
This is as complimentary can be, although it will sound pompous maybe. I'm not even sure. I'm not sure what the right word is. The Guardians don't belong in the same field with the Yankees. If they come back and make this a series, I will be floored because talent-wise, roster-wise, pitching-wise, there is nothing about the Guardians that compares to the Yankees. Well, you want to say, oh, you know, they won their division. Okay, you know what they also got to do? They got to play the White Sox a million times this year and padded their record. They're not as good. And so I fully, as you know, when they played the Royals, now they're playing the Guardians. It could have been the Tigers. The Yankees will be in the World Series. And I mean this in a good way. This series is boring. It's just kind of waiting for the Yankees to pop off and score a bunch of runs because Cleveland is not as good as they are. It's a compliment. It's nothing. I know you want it to be more exciting. It's not going to be. They're going to win this thing in 4 straight, and they're going to sit around for a week.
I hope you're happy, Mitch. I hope you're thrilled. Are you going to go to their parade if they win it all this year?
I just said I want to try and inspire some of the Guardians players or fans that might be listening to this show because you have people like that who are saying the series is already over and you can't let that happen.
I think Tanner Bibee's listening to this on his way into the stadium right now here in Jerry Recco, which Jerry Recco's full of it anyway. We're only 8-5 against the White Sox last year. So why don't you watch the sport first before you go commentating on it? You got anything over there about this?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I listened to that. And maybe I'm watching a different series because clearly the Yankees have been better and they have a 2-0 lead in the series. But nothing the Yankees have done have impressed me. It's not like it's been murderer's row. It's not like they're doing all the little things to beat you. I mean, their own broadcaster, John Sterling, is making fun of their base run.
That's the most frustrating game I've seen in a lot. I can't imagine.
I don't get, like, to see these first two games and act like, boy, the Yankees are just a much better team. It's night and day. No, that's what kills us right now, is that you've had the opportunity to beat them.
But that makes it worse. Like, I'm not going to sit there.
Oh, I didn't say it makes it better.
Jerry Recco. I don't care about Jerry Recco. It's whatever. But the point that I am bothered by is that if you looked at it from the outset, we have two starting pitchers. They have a staff. We have a great bullpen, but how long is your bullpen going to take you? I mean, they have guys that command serious attention in their lineup. We have Jose Ramirez. They should be better than you. And they're giving you opportunities. Gerrit Cole was hittable last night. You left 11 in scoring position. You left the bases loaded twice. Now, at least in one of those innings, you cashed in for two runs. I mean, that's what's frustrating about it, is you bobble the ball with Brian Rocchio. Okay, that sucks. I want to be nice about it because Brian Rocchio's had a hell of a postseason. But you get back into that game, and you still can't take advantage of these moments. Yes?
The Rocchio thing was, they were going to score that run anyway. Stanton was going to get a sack fly, and they were going to score that run anyway.
But you want him to earn it with the sack.
But it does come off. It makes it – it gives guys like Jerry Recco fuel.
Yes.
To go, look how embarrassing this team is.
And it makes it
worse.
And
they're not embarrassing.
And it makes yeah, go ahead.
They might have overachieved this season from, you know, where most people picked them to be. But there's still – there's a lot of the 2022 team that has been through some fires now. With a rookie manager who's being taught a few lessons. He got outmanaged by A.J. Hinch in the two games they lost.
Yes, he did.
In the first one. And he learned from it. He's not getting outmanaged by Aaron Boone right now.
But that made Monday...
It's just everything is piling up on it.
That
on
made Monday that much worse. You got Bo Naylor who... I mean, again, you got Wells behind the plate who's making stops and saving runs. He saved the tying run last night. Because Jose couldn't come home. He was 25 feet down third base. And you have a guy, an Aaron Austin Wells, who can at least get in front of a ball where Bo Naylor's just disinterested in it. So that's frustrating for a Guardians fan. Because it adds on. The night before, you have an opportunity. Yeah, the kid throws the ball in the dirt. Joey Cantillo threw the ball in the dirt. They probably shouldn't have brought Joey Cantillo out there. Bo Naylor's got to do something to get in front of it. They highlight. Jeff Francoeur highlights the defense from Austin Wells. You walk Soto to get the Judge, and it kind of works out. It kind of works out.
If we walk him to do it,
and then you still get in your own way because
well, we have played.
It's a frustrating
experience.
What
would you grade them in their first two games? What would you grade them? D's? I mean,
yes.
If they even played B-, I think the series is tied, absolutely. And if they played their A game, they're
D's
up 2-0.
Being generous. Yes. They have played two F ball games.
You can't just be sitting there afraid of that place.
Especially when the other team's trying to let you be in the game.
Guys, this is the house that TV money built. It's not the house that Babe Ruth built anymore. Get it through your heads. It's different. It's an office building now. They just took all the other monuments from the place that had actually mattered and put them in this place. That's all they did. Thurman Munson's ghost ain't out there. It's over in the parking lot. Rest in peace, Thurman Munson. Of all the things I say about the Yankees, he's cool.